Convene for the administrative portion of the Public Service Commission meeting. Nothing on consent. And on discussion, I will call on Stacy to present the Consumer Contact year-end report.
Good morning. It is that time of the year again where we take a look back at the previous year and all of the contacts that we received into the office. Just a reminder that this report covers all informal contacts, informal complaints, public input for cases, referrals to other agencies. It does not include anything that is part of a formal case or any kind of a formal complaint. So, for instance, if there's like a formal damage prevention complaint, call before you dig complaint, that is not in here. That is an actual formal case that has a case number. So just a refresher on what is all contained in this report. So this is all informal contacts with the public. So if you would join me on page 2 after the cover sheet, it gives you a good breakdown of all of the different jurisdictions where we receive contacts for this year, and gives you a 5-year history so you can kind of do some comparisons. Quick rundown. So we had 18 AML contacts, one auction contact yet, and that's going to start to obviously drop off because it's no longer in our jurisdiction, but we have a 5-year history there yet, so it'll...
Might just switch to off-site referral, right, Stacey?
Actually, yeah, for the most part, there are referral ones, and somebody put one under the jurisdiction, which is fine. Eventually, that'll just drop off. Mm-hmm. Common pipeline carrier, 0. That's a kind of a weird, I don't exactly know how we get cases underneath there, to be honest with you, but anyway, it's there. Damage prevention, 2, and once again, that is just somebody calling and asking a question or something, not formal cases. So it seems like a low number, but it's not incorporating all the formal work that damage prevention does. Electric utility, 218, and you will see that that's a larger number than the past 4 years. But if you look at the number 6 subnote in the bottom, 114 of those contacts were related to the Xcel Electric rate case that we had going on this year. So that's why that number was up. Mm-hmm. We had a rate case going on there. Gas pipeline safety, we had 1.
Stacey.
Yeah, go ahead.
On the electric utility, are calls still coming in on XL?
Yes.
And I expect when a decision is reached on it, there will be a surge again. And so,
usually, yeah, when there's news stories on something happening, then they'll surge again.
And so in this case, in comparing it to whatever, I'm sure we had a pretty fair-sized case in 2021. This might end up being bigger, but the fact that we held the hearing in, I think it was December, wasn't it? So it kind of gets split into years might kind
of
hide the jump in it.
Yes, and if I remember right, that was actually a 14 case number, I think. So there might have been some. Was it 14 or 24? I mean, I'm screwing up the decades in my mind. So yes, it gets split between multiple years usually. So we can look up specific case numbers if you want to know a total for a case, but this was just focusing on the year. So, where was I at? So yeah, gas pipeline safety with 1, under gas utility, 11. And once again, you'll see that those surge in the past years when we have a gas rate case going on. Which we did not this year. Railroad safety, 20, which is consistent with previous years, it looks like. Reclamation, we didn't have any put in there for this year. Siting, 21. This one always seems low to people, but one thing I do point out is that when we have our system, will categorize it for us. And so when we have, for instance, like the JetX project, if you put that into our system, that actually puts it underneath an electric utility because it'll come up under the company name of Otter Tail or MDU. Just out of curiosity, I did look up the JetX case for this year, and we had 8 comments related to JetX, so it wasn't a huge number. But
well, and Stacey, is it fair to say that some of that also is some of this could be the timing of when we actually get like a siting application in our office, because I think, mm-hmm. you know, as companies are developing their projects, they're out there in the communities talking about these. So there's times that we get calls about whether it's JetX or other projects mm-hmm. before we have an application yes. in front of us, because they're still yep. working on it and developing it.
Yep. Yep. And I can point you out to what is specifically under that category when we get to the following pages. Mm-hmm. So you get kind of an idea of what we had there. And once again, this does not include comments that we received at our public hearings.
Right.
Those are, you know, part of the public input in the case. So,
the official,
you know, we get lots of public input during our hearings. That's not reflected here. These are just the informal calls or emails that we get to the office. Weights and measures. They always stay busy answering questions and take a lot of questions and stuff regarding to weights and measures. 135, once again, consistent with previous years. And then referrals.
Stacey,
yes.
Do you recall what was in 2022 that
yep,
caused such a jump in weights and measures?
I had a note there. There was, they sent out letters of noncompliance, which I think Shelley has explained this to me. They don't do it that way anymore or something. But they sent out a specific letter telling people that they needed to update or weren't in compliance. And so it garnered a wave of calls into the office then. And then referrals. Referrals are things that are non-jurisdictional to us that we get calls about, and we try to refer them out to other places as we are able to. And consistent, again, 264 of those. So total number, 712 contacts for the year, down a little bit from previous years, but still a lot of contacts. And once again, I put my call out to all other staff members who are listening that this data is only good as all of the divisions putting the information in. So I encourage everyone to keep using the system and keep putting in as other people get calls and contacts around the commission, because that makes our data more complete.
Stacey, I want to have you clarify for me.
Mm-hmm.
So if we have an open case and someone calls in about that open case, that just goes into this type of contact.
Yes.
Okay. But public, if they're at the hearing, that goes in because it's recorded, that goes into that. Do you think the general public understand that? I mean, as far as, because I hear like, well, I called in and I want that part
yes.
of.
If I get the contact, I explain that to everyone, mm-hmm. and I have a letter also that explains that, that goes to the people. And if there is a hearing already scheduled, I give them a copy of the hearing notice and say, if you want your comments on the public record, you need to come to the hearing. So if they call in, I explain that to them. Does everyone out there realize that? No. But if they're actually contacting us, they should be getting that information. Right. Whether it's a letter or a phone call, I let them know that. Hey, this is going in public input, but not the formal record. If you want it in the formal comments, yeah. this is how you do it.
I know we get that detail in the monthly report, so
yeah.
thank you. I mean, I appreciate mm-hmm. that. I just and sometimes when they send in written comments, they think that's going in, but it just gets put into this.
Yep. Yep.
Yep. Thank you.
Yep. And there is frustration with that sometimes. I mean, sometimes people express that they can't be at the hearing or so, you know, I always encourage them to, you know, they can send comments with somebody else and talk to the judge that day. And a lot of times she'll accept it if somebody else submits it on their behalf. It's up to her or whoever the judge is that time. But I try and give them some other alternatives to get their information in somehow. But
well, great customer service on the referrals.
Yeah, you'll see when we get there. Those yeah. those are all over the place all the time. They're interesting. So if you turn to page 3, this focuses only on informal complaints. So these aren't questions. These aren't public input for cases. This is an actual complaint that I file with the company and work with between the company and the customer to try to resolve. So you will see for CenturyLink this year 17, which is actually lower than we have had in the 5 years. I will attribute this to many of our problem areas going away because there's other competitors in those areas. So some of the areas that I've dealt with over and over, I no longer hear from because they have other providers. So that's why that number is down. Dakota Natural Gas, none for this year, very few for them. MDU, 6, very low number, lower than their average. Otter Tail, 6, that's very consistent with what we see year to year with them. Excel, 54, their number was up this year. I took a look through, it's a variety of billing complaints. Nothing stands out as one particular main issue for the complaint. High bills, something wrong with the account. They thought they stopped service, and they were still getting billed, disconnects, and some smart meter complaints. But in the comments, as I looked through, there was a recurring trend that people would indicate that they called into customer service, and they can't figure out a way to talk to somebody live. And that is a recurring trend that I heard throughout this year. And so then that prompts us to call us because they somehow can't navigate the calling system to be able to get to a live person.
Are you talking about Excel specifically?
Yes.
But it sort of correlates to what I brought up earlier in the meeting. Do you ever try to call any of our three major utilities?
I have, and I haven't done this one lately, but the problem is a lot of the times if you don't have an account number, this is what I've found in the past. If you call and you actually want to like get to the places that they're trying to get to, you have to enter an account number. And then if you don't have one, you sometimes can't go forward. I haven't tried with Excel lately, but...
When you do that, are you talking to a person at that point?
No.
Or are you still...
It's all automated.
Yeah.
I think that is why we get the complaints, not them.
Oh, definitely, because they say right away, I tried to call Excel, I pushed all the buttons and I couldn't talk to somebody, and so I don't know how to resolve this without being able to talk to somebody. And so then I get them connected with somebody. But it results in a complaint with us then because they weren't able to deal with it through their customer service center.
So there's no option on their, to our knowledge, there's no option on their automated menus anywhere to speak to a representative.
I'm assuming there is, but for some reason people aren't finding it. But I'm not 100% sure. Any other questions about complaints? I mean, overall, I don't know. I've never figured out how many customers like Excel has in North Dakota, and is 54 complaints in a whole year. Like, what percentage of? It's probably actually pretty small when you think about it, but
close
still,
100,000.
Right, but so if you think about 54 complaints in a whole year from that many customers. It's not alarming, is what I'm saying, in any way, shape, or form. But
so, Stacy, then when you step in and kind of connect them essentially to a real person, what has been, like, has Excel passed anything back to you as far as, you know, if you're seeing this recurring theme about not being able to talk to a person, are they seeing that in some of their other jurisdictions outside North Dakota? Mm-hmm. Do they have, is this unique to us? Do they have any plans to change anything in any way?
Yeah. I haven't gotten those specific of details, but I have mentioned it to them. If the customer mentions it to me, then I put it in the report to them that they tried to call and they couldn't get through or whatever. Mm-hmm. And usually I just get a response of, our records don't indicate that there was any high call volume or anything like that. But haven't done any outreach, I guess, yet to someone other than the customer service people to try and get, which we could, start to reach out to more of our company liaison people instead of the customer service type people.
Mm-hmm. But because I'm guessing that if these customers are calling in and they can't essentially talk to anybody or enter their account or get through, that it's from the company side, it's not going to, they're not even going to have a specific record tied to that customer that they even called, because they probably didn't get far enough in the process.
Probably not.
Okay.
Good way to make sure you don't get an unusually high call volume. Make it unusually hard to call.
Yeah. I'm not a call center expert, so I don't know. But yeah, if they don't enter an account number and they don't get to somebody, then I don't know how they would know who's calling. I mean, they'd have call numbers. And usually in call centers, you can see what percentage of callers can't get to somebody, like drop calls type thing. But I don't have any of that information.
I know many times I'm sitting there, agent, please, agent, please.
And it is particularly difficult for elderly people.
Right.
I mean, I tell that right away when someone's who's a little older calls and they say, I just can't figure out how to, you know, and it is. So we help get them connected with somebody, but pushing number after number after number can get confusing.
Right. It would be nice, and I don't, like you said, I'm not a call center expert, so I don't know the limitations, but I think some call centers can have you say, like, enter your account number or some type of identifying information. Some of it, I think, maybe is just tied to your specific phone number, right? Mm. So if you call in,
I think so,
they can just automatically look up your account just based on the phone number. So I don't know if that's an option that these utilities have, but that could be a way to, speed things along and help the process if it's possible. I don't know.
The following pages are all of the detailed data behind the numbers that you just saw. So I'm not going to like go through a lot of this, but it's for your perusal, but I can point out some things. So starting on page 4, it's broken down by each jurisdiction. So one of the questions you were just asking me was about siting, which is on page 7. So if you turn to page 7 and look under the siting category, that's those 21 entries that we had. Hopefully matches up to the front. Yep. So you can see we had, a question about battery storage, the Bison 4 project, county versus state permitting for a wind farm, Flickertail Wind, couple JetX, a question about solar farms, a question about reclamation on pipeline, it looks like, Thunder Butte, WBI pipeline, general wind farm easements and wind farm questions. So that gives you a good feel for the type of siting questions we got throughout the year.
Do you feel we're getting a lot of these calls documented? I mean, this is a lot of wealth of information, but do you feel that we're documenting quite a bit?
Or? I think so, but honestly, if they're not, I wouldn't know, because if somebody else is taking the calls and not putting in, I guess I wouldn't know that unless they say something to me like, oh, I got a call today. And then I look and it's not in there. Mm-hmm. And that has happened. But if
employees are busy too, but
yeah,
I mean,
I just always encourage people to do the best they can, but hopefully we're getting a good representation of what we're getting. Let's see. Yeah, it just keeps going by category then. Railroad safety is on page 8. Go ahead.
Before you jump from that, inciting.
Yep.
Is there a reason why you split these up as much as you do? And the one that caught my attention was wind farm easements and permits, wind farm setbacks, wind farm siting, and windmills.
Yep.
Sort of seems like it's wind farms.
Yeah, so when you put it into the system, you actually type those categories because you're not separating them by a case number or something very specific. And so if you don't have it typed the exact same way, it's going to put it in there every time.
And that, okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's a manual. You type that subject in And so if they're exactly the same, so like wind farm setbacks, that must have been typed in exactly the same three times. So it put three behind it. But if you change it at all, then it's going to put it in differently.
And so some of this could be just because we have different people answering the phone, right? So they're labeling it in a way that
makes sense. Or even myself, I won't remember to call it the same. If it's linked to a case number and you put a case number in, then it's going to group them. But otherwise, you have to type it the same exact way.
Okay.
Just some of the ones, I guess, that maybe are of interest. Railroad safety on page 8. Just kind of interesting to see what we get with those. And Conrad handles those, so I don't have details on these. But you'll continue to see abandoned rail lines. I think block crossings still come up quite often. And different crossing issues. Weed management, fencing, weed spraying, and like rough crossings. So Conrad usually does a pretty good job handling those, and I don't have to deal with those directly usually.
Do they still do weed management and fencing?
The railroads? I don't know. I have to ask Conrad. Starting on page 10, it's just another way to break down. This section breaks it down by company. So if you are interested in everything that we got for a certain company, you can look up the company here and see what we received. So I don't know if you have a specific interest for something. When you guys were talking about the renewable resource cost recovery case just a bit ago, I was curious, so I looked it up. Under MDU on page 11, we had one comment under that case number, it looks like.
Did you document your calls, Randy?
No, I didn't. I had more.
Page 13 starts the referrals, and these are everything you can think of. So once again, we do our best to refer people to a correct agency or other place. The trends that we always get, we did get some more data center questions this year. That's kind of a new one that pops up every once in a while. Cell phones, questions about co-ops or complaints against co-ops, water complaints, which we have no jurisdiction over. We still get some grain elevator questions, which we refer now, of course, propane-related, the low-income heating assistance program we get calls on and refer, and then internet calls is another common one that we get that we have no jurisdiction over and refer. But there's tons of other subjects we get calls on for whatever reason, but
Still getting some grain and auctioneering calls.
Yep.
Are you addressing the federal spending?
No, I don't think I addressed that at all. There was some of those were specifically coming to Representative Fedorchak. For some reason, they had her old email address listed on some petition websites. So we were getting those for a while, and then I contacted those websites and told them to change the email address because she doesn't work here anymore. So some of those were related to that. They were using the wrong email address for We were getting some really weird, for a while we were getting CPS records requests, Child Protection Services, and we couldn't figure out. I contacted Human Services and was like, "Do you have any idea why we're receiving these?" And they said, "We have no idea." So I just referred them to them for a while, and they quit now, but I have no idea why that was happening either. So you'll see CPS records requests in here for a while. I have no idea how our email address got.
It's all the same letters.
Kind of.
PSC, CPS.
CPS. No idea.
I don't see any of them that really jump out as being real big.
No, like I said, they're volume, all over the place.
You know, that are nowhere near our jurisdiction.
Nowhere near? No. I mean, the biggest ones are like I said, water. I get quite a few water. You know, the city shut my water off. Problems with internet companies, cell phone complaints. And then co-ops. People don't understand that we don't regulate the co-ops. And so I have to explain that a lot, too. Or we don't approve their rates either. If there's a rate increase by one of the co-ops, sometimes then we'll get calls.
Well, where's that in here? Or, oh, there. I suppose they're listed.
So it's underneath the different ones. Like you'll see Capital Electric.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And some of it is our, you know, rather generic name. I suppose if you're frustrated and no one will cash your sweepstakes check and you've exhausted all other resources. Well, maybe public service.
Right.
Yeah.
Doing a public service and help me. Yeah.
Yeah. We have a generic sounding name if you don't have any clue. So if I need help, public service sounds like a good place to call. Mm-hmm.
Well, Stacy, thank you for putting this together, for walking us through this, for the monthly updates that you send to us. I know for me, that's something that I look at very closely every month. And so this is just a good summary overall of the monthly stuff. And thank you for keeping all this updated and to all the staff who's putting the information in here. Like you said, the more information that's in here and the more complete it is, the better picture we have for us to help us in our decision-making process. And just a special shout out to everybody who's answering and helping people with these offsite referrals. To me, that's kind of something that I always take great pride in, is when people tell us that our staff is helpful. And so even if it's something that we don't have control over, as I'm walking around, I can hear people on the phone saying, okay, hold on, we don't have something to do with it, but let me look it up for you. What do you need? Mm-hmm. And that I always think is really great, that we don't just say, nope, not us. Good luck. Try a different number. So
yeah, I think everybody does their best to try and get them directed somewhere. Right. And I know when I'm here, sometimes Erica will be like, oh yeah, let me check on that. And she'll run over, hey, who would I send them to for this? You know, and then I'll give her an idea. And everyone tries to be as helpful as possible. So that's good.
I have a question. When you get a complaint and it's against, let's just say, a utility, and it's a potential disconnect or something like that, I know you send it over to the company. And is that a good response time that you're getting back from the companies if it's an active complaint? And would you say most all of them get resolved, or?
Yeah, I get good responses. CenturyLink sometimes has very slow responses. But like I said, those are getting to be less and less. Our electric and gas utilities, they have good response time. And yes, we resolve it one way or the other. It doesn't mean that the customer, that it changed anything for the customer. If they got disconnected because they hadn't paid their bill for 9 months, doesn't mean that we're just going to automatically reconnect them. But it means that we looked into it and we made sure everything was correct. And we made sure that the customer received all of the information about their options. And then, you know, went forward from there. But so yes, we go through that process. And then in the end, I will close the complaint when I feel that everything has been looked at and everything is how it should be, and the customer has all the information and has been able to talk to the company and know what they have to do to move forward. And sometimes we do find mistakes, and then those are fixed. And
That's a process, and I thank you for your extra time that you go and follow through with that.
Yeah, I learn a lot all the time. I remember when I first started, I would have to go to a division director for everyone and be like, hey, is this right? Now I know all the basics, but every once in a while something comes up, I'm like, I wonder if that's right. And so then I'll go talk to somebody in PUD and they'll look into it. And so it's a good team effort.
Well, and one thing I will say on those, we don't see them here, obviously, on the annual report, but on the monthly reports, we always see
the detail.
The detail and the response mm-hmm. that you communicate back. And mm-hmm. Stacey, I really want to commend you on how you do such a phenomenal job of taking sometimes our very legal and technical processes and rules and regulations and everything and explaining it in a way that is helpful to anybody, that anybody outside of our world can understand.
Hopefully, I try to. Mm-hmm. So in the past, we have done a news release with this, so I will work with Commissioner Haugenhoffert, as the portfolio holder to do a news release and share it with you guys when it's ready, and we'll send that out to wrap this up for another year and go forward with a new year. Perfect. Any other questions?
Not a question, yeah. But you know, at the beginning, we talked about the legislature in town last week, and a number of them commented about the electric rates that we have. I think this is another area that we need to highlight more, the efforts that our staff as a whole, but you in particular, put forth to try and help people. And, you know, the complaints about the Child Protective Services or things like that, where instead of just saying, nope, not us, you actually try to help them get somewhere. And I know, because you've always been one of the main ones helping to prepare budget testimony, just help us all remember, it is something we should emphasize, that unlike what I'm sensing maybe from not just North Dakota utility companies, but companies in general in the 21st century of making it so hard that no one ever contacts them, mm-hmm. we are actually still providing service to people. And I think it's something we should emphasize more than what we do.
A year from now, I will remember that. That's a good point, though. Yes.
Anything else on discussion?
Job well done, Stace.
Yep. Thank you.
Any scheduling? With that, we are adjourned.